It's time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes as we focus on the criminal charges filed in the Flint water crisis. Two state water quality experts and a Flint utility official have been charged with felonies and misdemeanors related to the drinking water crisis. The charges include misconduct and neglect of duty and lying to cover up the lead contamination. Daniel, you say now we're getting to the nub of the Flint water crisis. How is that?
I think in several ways. One, you are seeing the Attorney General and his investigative team going after potential criminal liability in this whole thing. And despite the fact that a lot of the media and public attention has been focused on Governor Snyder and the state and, to a lesser extent, the EPA, I think what we saw in these indictments yesterday is they're also looking at the city of Flint and people that worked inside the city of Flint and decisions that were made inside the city of Flint. And as I think we've discussed in the past, the real root cause of this whole thing was the decision by Flint City Council to leave the Detroit water system after 50 years and join the new Karagandy Water Authority. And that began a whole cascade of what we now know are mistakes and, in some cases, deliberate deceit. But I think you see in this effort by the Attorney General is he's really, to borrow a phrase, not showing much fear or favor yet. And it was very interesting to me that he was very pointed, as was his chief investigator, to say yesterday, no one is immune and no one is above the law. And when asked specifically whether Governor Snyder was being looked at in this whole thing, his response was, no one is above the law, which suggests that this thing has a lot longer to run, in my view, and it probably will dog this administration for the rest of its time in office.
But isn't the root cause of the fiasco less about joining the KWA and more about that decision made somewhere by somebody to not add corrosion control when the switch was made?
Well, I think if you walk it back to its, why did they have to make that decision? They had to make that decision because the city council decided. And by the way, it's important to note here, and I know there'll be people listening to this who will say, but it was the emergency manager. It was the emergency manager. Yes, it was the emergency manager who ultimately endorsed that vote of the city council and moved it ahead because he was empowered to do that. So I don't want to suggest that the emergency manager didn't have a role here because he clearly did. Mm-hmm. But I think really the decision to leave Detroit after many, many years certainly led to the decision, as you point out, to draw water from the Flint River, which they had to do because Detroit said, we're going to cut you off after a year. And then Detroit came back to them. Remember, Detroit was in bankruptcy.
Right.
And realized that $20 million of revenue from Flint, which I believe was their single largest customer at the time, was money they could ill afford to lose. And so they came back with proposals that they claim and documents seem to suggest would have been essentially matching any price that Flint was going to pay once they joined KWA. It was kind of that attempt that you see in businesses to keep the customer. And yet Flint officials said, we don't believe Detroit's numbers. It doesn't account for potential increases in the future. We're not going to go there, which then forced them to find another source because KWA wasn't ready to be hooked up.
And we know Darnell Early was the one in March of 2014 who sent that letter to Detroit going, nope, we're out, we're done, we don't want your final short-term contract offer. So there was that issue of deciding not to stay with Detroit even until KWA was finished. And you also had Flint City Council asking Jerry Ambrose, could we go back to Detroit? And he said, that's inconceivable. I hear all of
those. And don't forget, Ed Kurtz was the third. He was the third emergency manager who was the guy who said, we're leaving. So you had three emergency managers, as we've just cited, who made decisions at critical points in the process here. So I think the thing that struck me about this news yesterday, one was, we're not done. Number two, we're looking at 2.5 million pages of documents. Okay, that I know of that have been out there, a lot of the media have been looking at roughly 50,000. So think about the gap there in terms of the numbers. To me, this was the first time that an investigative piece or arm started to look at the city of Flint as well as the DEQ and the governor's office and the EPA. So I think a lot of the discussion thus far has kind of swirled around Flint and said, oh, you didn't have any responsibility here. The emergency manager is responsible for everything. And I think what we're going to find out is that there were decisions made inside the city of Flint by people in the Public Works Department and other things that may have been deceptive, just as they were at the MDEQ.
And as the message was very, very clear in yesterday's press conference from the Attorney General and his investigators, the train has left the station. And if you want a good seat, get on early.
Yeah, and considering who that came from, that should send a chill up a lot of spines. I mean, Andy Arena, who was key in the Kwame Kilpatrick corruption case, he's been involved in some of the biggest cases in Southeast Michigan in a long time. He knows of what he speaks, and when he says that, I think that that telegraphs, we've got our eyeballs on some things here, and it's time for people to pay attention.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes with us via Skype, as he is each week. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you.